Tess Kislave, Monday the 1st of December, Robert Avi Hill. Is there such a thing as a selfless act?
Philosophy, they ask, is there such thing as altruism? Altruism is a word initially from Latin, the word altru being benevolent. And philosophers ask, is there such a thing as a selfless act? Is it possible to do an act of kindness where there's no selfish gain whatsoever? And I'm fascinated what Torah says about this. You see, Richard Dawkins in a book, The Selfish Gene, writes, and his view is, unfortunately, the common view out there in the world, that ultimately, everything is selfish. Ultimately, we are selfish entities, and one way or the other, either because of guilt, because of fear, we're selfish beings, and when we do an act of kindness, we gain. But I would like to see what the Torah says about that, because since chesed is the foundation of Torah, surely we must hold that chesed has the ability to be selfless. So let's have a look, because if you start analyzing case after case, it's somewhat worrying. For example, have a think yourselves of cases where you've actually activated chesed or received chesed. And if you start analyzing it, unfortunately you'll see that there's a lot of selfish gain. You know, for example, you know, my mother's taught me that you should absolutely always give birthday cards, especially to her. That she's a great believer in birthday cards and birthday gifts, and especially to her. And I cannot say, hand on heart, that when I give her birthday cards and birthday gifts, is that really altruistic? Because my life will not be worth living. My life will be not worth living if I don't give it. So can I truly say that it's lishma, it's totally selfless every time I give my mother a birthday card, because it's not going to be worth living if I don't. So that definitely isn't an opportunity of lishma. And start thinking case after case. Start thinking of things you do beinotam leishtay, between you and your wife, every time one is nice to someone in one's family. Is that really altruistic? Think how many times, let me ask you, when someone comes and asks for tzedakah. At times, why do you give tzedakah? Why do you give tzedakah? Some people give tzedakah because they're in an environment and they know that everyone else is giving and it doesn't look good if they don't give. For some people, they've understood the gains they get in this world and the next world as a result of giving tzedakah. So many people give tzedakah once again for their own benefit. The question is, do we have the capacity to give tzedakah mamish lishma, altruistically, for no other reason other than we want to help the recipient? Do we have that ability? In last week's parsha, there's a surprising pasuk. It says, Vatere Rochel, ki lo yodo liyakov. She saw that she couldn't have children. The Tzakanei Rochel Bachoisan, she got jealous with her sister. Vatoimel Yaakov hovolivonim v'im ayin mesa onoichi. And if not, I'd rather die. So I saw last week Rabbi Twersky has a very scary phenomenon. He writes the following. Why do people even want children? You see, Rav Dessler later on comes and seems to say that the love that we have to our children perhaps is altruistic. Perhaps it's selfless. That's such a natural love where you, the parent, doesn't gain. Efsha, that could be an example of altruism, the love that we have for our children. But actually, let's go a bit deeper. You know, Rav Tversky says he always used to say to his Talmidim when he was speaking about parenthood, why do you want to have a child? It's an interesting question. Why do people really want to have children? Is it really to be able to give? Or does the parent want children for themselves? Because for whatever reason, their self-esteem needs to have children. Says Rav Tversky, you see from this pasuk with Rachel, what she was battling with. You see, Rachel Imenu, of all the characters in the Torah, perhaps is the one who embodies and epitomizes altruistic love in the area of parenthood. Why? Because she actually would rather her sister not be embarrassed than her having children. She wants to marry Yaakov, but she gives the simonim over to Yaakov, even though she naturally wants to have children, and she naturally wants, she gives the simonim over to Leah, and even though she naturally wants to have those children, she's willing to forego that for the love of her sister. Yet, and later on, it seems that her Yetzer Hara baby comes in and says this pasuk. It says, "Im ayin mesa anochi, I prefer not to die," and for that, Yaakov gets angry, because that's not what Rachel Imeni should be doing. And then afterwards, L'chayre Rachel does the Shiva. Rachel realizes, you're right, I shouldn't want children because of myself. I should want children because it's Rotzon Hashem. And if it's Rotzon Hashem, then Leah should have the children, then Leah should have the children. And Rav Tversky says beautifully, it was that selflessness which then gave her the schus to have Yosef, which then gave her, have the merit to have Yosef. My Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Brevda, used to tell me that there was tkufa when he wasn't well and he couldn't learn Torah. And he was upset about that. He was tzebrochen about that. He said, until the Briskarov got hold of him. His Rebbe was the Briskarov, and the Briskarov got hold of him and said, Rav Shlomo, why do you want to learn Torah? Do you want to learn Torah for you? Or do you want to learn Torah because it's Ratzon Hashem? If you want to learn Torah, it's Ratzon Hashem, and he's making you not well. So at the moment, he doesn't want you to learn, so what are you upset about? Which is a beautiful way to look at life. How many times do we want to do mitzvahs for ourselves, but it's not for the Ribbono Shel Olam? And I think now we start understanding the answer that Rav Dessler wants to bring to this question of, can we do altruism? And this is Rav Dessler's chiddush. Let me share it with you. There's a difference between the rotzon and the tzitzah. There's a difference between why you do a mitzvah and a byproduct of that mitzvah. So ledugma. If someone offers someone a lift, it could be as you're leaving here this morning, someone taps you on the shoulder and says, "Can I have a lift?" So maybe you'll say yes. Now you should do, by the way, what I didn't do. A few weeks ago, someone asked me after Shabbos, "Can I have a lift?" And I said, "Sure." And I got in the car and I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "To Essex." So that wasn't, I think you need to always ask, "Where are you going?" But let's say it's quite convenient and you give someone a lift. It's a little bit out of your way. So the question is, why are you doing it? Now, afterwards, you might say, "I had to. You know, I was in that situation, and it's my opportunity, and I couldn't really say no." But then afterwards, would you have felt guilty about not doing it? For many people, there would be a lot of selfish gain as a result of doing it. So here's Rav Dessler's chiddush. What's the rotzon? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? If your rotzon is to give, is selfless, is for the recipient, that's our definition of altruism, says Rav Dessler. Yes, there may be byproducts where you yourself will gain, either in this world or the next, but that doesn't detract it from altruism, because according to Rav Dessler, what counts is your rock stone, is why you do things. And that's really interesting when you start analyzing that. Because how many times is the rod stone Chilei Lishma? But even if the rod stone now is Lishma, says Rav Dessner, it doesn't matter that the byproduct is Chilei Lishma as long as the rod stone is Lishma. So let's give some examples. Example number one. We'll talk Avram Avinu. The quintessential Baal Chesed. So by Avram Avinu, there's a really interesting case in Vayera where he's sitting there after Bris Milah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit him. It's the first occasion of Bikkur Cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit him. And somehow Avraham Avinu is able to say, no, now's not a good time. Can you come back another time, please? More convenient time. There's some Arab idolaters that need looking after. I've got to look after them. Come back later. And everybody asks the question, how did Avraham Avinu know how did he know that it was greater to look after guests than to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Surely there's nothing greater than that. And I'm sure you know the Rashi, where Rashi says, Avraham Avinu hayom mitsta'er shaloi hayu arkim boim. He was upset that there was no guests. Now let's analyze that. Isn't that amazing? Most people over Shabbos, they're quite distressed that there are guests coming. Most people, you know, Thursday, Friday, oh my gosh, we haven't got, it's not clean enough, it's not neat enough, I can't believe I'm inviting them. Avraham Avinu is lefach, he was upset that there was no guests. So let's understand that. Surely looking after a guest is the following. Someone's in need, someone has a gap, someone has somewhere, they need to go for Shabbos, so I'm going to come and fill that gap. So that's what chesed is. Avraham Avinu, it's something deeper. Let's say there's no one who needs anything. But for Avraham Avinu, who's a Baal Chesed, he understands that his job in this world is to be Mashpia Chesed. And if there's no one to give Chesed to, it upsets him. He's not fulfilling his tachlis. The Ramchal says, that's similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he had no one to give to. He had no one to give to, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the root of all chesed, has a rotzoin, and that's how the Ramchal uses the Lashon, he has a rotzoin to give chesed, and his rotzoin to give chesed is why he created the world, just like Avraham Avinu. So says Rav Dessner, a beautiful thing about Avraham Avinu. Since Avraham Avinu understands we're here in this world to be dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're more dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're analogous to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're activating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in us. At that moment when Avraham Avinu is giving chesed, just like the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed, he's more dovuk to Hashem than if he is receiving or taking and Hashem is giving. It's an amazing idea. But again, we see that Avraham Avinu wasn't giving for his selfish benefit. It's the total converse. He's giving only for the recipient, only to give. Another example, there's a Gemara Baba Betzia, and Daf Lamud Beis. Fascinating Gemara, and ask the following. There's two types of animals. There's an animal who's got a big pack on the animal, and it's overloaded, versus another animal where the pack's fallen off. Says the Gemara, what's greater? What's a bigger mitzvah? Which of the two should one do? Anyone know here?
The full pack.
So the one where there's two mitzvahs. The one where the animal is overloaded, because by then the pain the animal's going through and the opportunity to load it correctly, there's two mitzvahs as opposed to if the load falls off, it's only one. Says the Gemara, what happens if one's an oyev and one's a soneh? If there's one, the owner of one of the animals is a good friend, and the owner of one of the animals is someone you haven't spoken to for a year. Says the Gemara, and this is critical, you absolutely should go and help the one you haven't helped for a year. Why? Because since chesed is not about you, it's not about your selfish, material, egotistical gains, it's about eroding your yetzahara. Having kvishas ayetzah, eroding the ego, you'll do far more by giving to a soiner than by giving to an oyed. Ask the Gemara, so what about if the case with the animal where the pack's fallen off is the soiner, and the case for the animal where it's overloaded is the oyed, meaning you've got two opportunities to do a mitzvah with the oyed, and only one opportunity to do the mitzvah with the soiner, says the Gemara, even in that case you look after the soiner. Why? Because again, such the critical nature of eroding your ego and being mispato the Yetzirah, that's way more important than even doing the two mitzvahs of looking after the animal where it's overloaded. So I think again you can see from here that once again in Torah we look at chesed differently to how the non-Jewish world look at it. In Torah we look at it that we absolutely have the capacity to erode the Yetzirah, and by giving chesed, it's dafka not for yourself. It's dafka for the other. Again, Efshi, you could say, again, the non-Jewish world, someone like Richard Dawkins, who doesn't believe in the soul, he doesn't believe in the notion of a soul. So for him, it is simple, that all there is ego, all there is physicality, so it's impossible to be altruistic for us who believe in neshama, for us who believe that we can do something, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give, even if there's no recipient. So also we can do that. There's a beautiful kasher of Esther asked, now hopefully it's something you thought of, which is the following. If, though, you believe in Olam Haba, and if you believe in Skava Oynesh, surely then, any firm Jew, it's actually impossible for us to do a mitzvah altruistically. To do a mitzvah where you're not going to gain. Because you will know that Kol Yisrael Yesh Leim Chelek Olam Haba, Haskenach Meprosla Kodesh Nikonis the Troklin, that the mitzvahs we're doing in here, Baruch Hashem is going to give us an eternal reward. So once again, any time you do any mitzvah, you will gain eternally for it. So once again, Rav Dessler seems to ask that actually, perhaps, for Ben Torah, once again, there's no such thing as a selfless act, because every time you do a mitzvah, you will gain eternally for that. So once again, answers Rav Dessler, there's a difference between the rotzayin and the teitzah. You see, when we do a mitzvah, it's actually a lower level to do the mitzvah l'shem olam haba shelanu. You know, we're doing this for the sake of the schar we're going to get. That's a very low level. As the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Mishnah Gimel, in Perek Aleph, that we should do a mitzvah shelayal menas l'kabel schar. That is the way we should be. We should be trying to, the rotzoy, nefesh, that's what a bracha is. When we make a bracha before Birkas HaMitzvah, the bracha should be, we're doing this l'shma. We're doing this to fulfill rotzoy Hashem. We're not doing this to fill our boots and to allow us to gain schar in Olam Haba. And you know the famous Maisa of the Gra probably embodies and epitomizes this, where one Sukkos, he couldn't find an Esrog. And his Talmidim were going searching to get an esrog for him. And finally they stumbled upon this Osher who had a beautiful esrog. And they said to the Osher, can we buy this off you to give this an opportunity to the Vilna Gaon's going to shake your esrog this year? And the Osher said, on one condition. And they said, anything, what's your condition? And the Osher said, I want to get a schar for it. I want to get the gross schar for this esrog. And they didn't have any other option, so they took the esrog. And they brought it back to the Vilna Gaon, and they said, do you want the good news or the bad news? And he said, tell me the good news first. And he said, you know, we've got to find you an esrog. He says, Baruch Hashem. He said, what's the bad news? The bad news is you're not going to be getting schar this year. The schar's going to the Oshis, he says, that's even better news. All my life I've been trying to do a mitzvah where it wasn't for me. All my life I've wanted to do a mitzvah only for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's possible, because innately we always going to gain. Baruch Hashem, I've been given this opportunity finally to do a mitzvah which is selfless. Now I've got a chover who the following Maisa happened. But for me, this Meister really epitomizes this notion. So there were three boys a few years ago. My father, this guy called John Cohen, and he went with a friend called Paul and Lincoln, and they went on a summer holiday to Thailand. And they're there having, you know, I'm sure learning in Chabad every day, and that's where they are. And it's the last day of holidays, and John is oversleeping, as one does, and Lincoln is really upset. Lincoln said, "It's our last day, John. Can you please get out of bed?" And Lincoln says, "Absolutely sure," and puts the phone down and goes straight back to sleep. After 10 minutes, Lincoln's now really upset. So Lincoln's come from the hotel down on the shore where their bungalows are, and John realizes he's now in trouble. So he quickly gets dressed and he shoots up. Unfortunately, the story now gets sad. That moment is when the tsunami came. The famous tsunami, which killed many, many, came at that very moment. And John Cohen's life is now saved because he managed to escape. But he's now searching frantically for his friends, Lincoln and Paul. And by the end of that night, he's distressed. He thinks he's lost them forever. And miraculously, Paul is found. Paul, his life was saved by holding onto a tree trunk. And he was able for his life to be saved. And he's now with John, and they're looking for Lincoln, the guy from Finchley, a guy called Lincoln Abrahams. And I got to know about it because a chover of mine called David Hanona, called me up as I was actually walking along in Heathrow Airport to catch a flight to Israel. David's on the phone crying, saying, "Rabbi Hill, you always taught us that the greatest chesed, what the Torah calls chesed shel emes, mamish case of altruism, chesed shel emes is burying the dead. Because as we know from the Rashi, you're not going to gain anything when you give to someone who's passed away." And he said, I need to go and help find Lincoln. We've got to bring him home. I'm prepared to do whatever's needed. We can't just let him be there. We've got to find him. And he went to Thailand to go and search for his friends. And for a week, David and John and Paul walked along beaches looking from one body after the bodies were piled up, one after the other, and they're just searching, can they find their friends? If you think about it, it's ridiculous. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, but you don't even know where the haystack is. It was impossible. And they're going in and out of morgues looking for their friend. And I'll never forget, he called me Erev Shabbos, he called me Friday. David was, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? I can't even believe we were so naive to think we could find him. And that's it. Come Shabbos. Do Shabbos, we're coming home. And I said, just once more, just try once more. You know, his friends didn't daven. He said, go and put on tefillin on all your friends. Daven once more. Ask Hashem. You've come all the way. And they did that. They had one more look and they went to a morgue in Phuket. Their final morgue they were going to go to. They went to a morgue in Phuket and they saw a very unusual sight. By then they'd got used, Rahman al-Islam, seeing these bodies piled up one after the other. They'd gone and seen a body where this time there was right at the back there was this body with a hand up. Mamish like a hand up. They thought that was strange. We haven't seen that. Maybe it's a sign. And they went over to that body. And I don't want to be too graphic now. Some of you might have had breakfast. You can't even tell one from the other who a face was by that. But they saw he had bris milah. They saw that this body had bris milah. And actually in that morgue, there was an organization called Zaka who were there. The Israelis who came to help in this moment were mamish there in that morgue. And they started talking to these Yiddish boys from London. And they said, maybe this is Lincoln. And they said, you know what you should do? Fax through the dental records. If you can fax through the dental records, we can see if it's a match. And they called Lincoln's mother, who was waiting frantically by the phone all week. And Lincoln's mother, have you found him? Have you found him? They said, we don't want to get you excited, but you know what? Just, if you can please fax through the dental records. And she faxed through the dental records. And it was Mumish and Mace. They found Lincoln. They found Lincoln. And they brought him home on the Sunday. And there was a funeral. Could have been some of you were there. Thousands of people were there on that Monday. And why I tell you this is John and David, they went through such a traumatic experience to find their friend, but they were willing to do that. And they mummish hurt themselves to find their friend. But that's real Avo. It was true Avo. For no other gain than other, they didn't want their friend to be left by themselves and not to be buried chas v'shalom. And that love, for me, is amazing and shows what Klal Yisrael are capable of. Finally, I don't want to take this opportunity without mentioning my sister. I've got a very special sister. I don't want to give her a surname just in case she doesn't want to, but you'll have to work that out. And Rebecca, a few years back, unfortunately had a baby being born with brain damage. His name was Simi. And they still hoped he was going to live for many years. And they hoped that he had a pretty good prognosis. But unfortunately, Simi didn't put on weight from the day he was born. And 14 months later, the doctors said to my sister and her husband, you've got to come and say really goodbye to your baby. He's not going to make it. And my sister literally saying goodbye to her baby with Simi in her arms. And again, she's on such a level that she managed, the way she describes it to her family is because she sat down with her family to tell all her brothers, the siblings, I'll tell you a story. There was a guy who had a beautiful diamond and he wanted to give his diamond to a friend because he was traveling. So he went to the friend and said, let me give you my diamond to look after, but don't go too attached to it. One day I'm going to come back for it. And 14 months later, the man came back for the diamond. And Rebecca used that lashon to say that to her family. She understood it came from Hashem. But she was obviously incredibly in pain, incredibly traumatized at losing a child. A few months later, she gets a phone call. And the phone call goes on the lines of, there's a baby being born in London with a very similar condition to what Simi had, and the mother can't cope with it. The mother is unable to look after the baby. And the baby's going to be taken into social services. What should we do? And it didn't take my sister long. A few minutes later, my sister calls her back and says, we'll look after the baby. And for the past 2 years, a very special family in Golders Green are looking after someone else's baby for no other benefit than they think this is Ratzon Hashem. They want to do the right thing. They want to have an opportunity to do chesed. And going in and out of hospital, reopening the trauma that my sister's had to go through, she's still willing to forego and erode the selfish and physical pain that we need. My sister said an amazing thing. She said it's such a bracha because she's taught all her children how you should care for someone else. And they're living in a house of chesed 24/7. And that's what I want to share with you, that even though there's others on this planet that don't believe that we're capable of chesed, the Torah does. The Torah says we're absolutely capable of chesed, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed. Similarly, we have the capacity to do chesed, and even though you could argue we're going to gain from it in Olam Haba, or we're going to gain from it post-action, as Rav Dessler says, the crux is the rotzoin, is why you do it, and if our rotzoin is lishma, that's true chesed. Thank you.